I'm going to be at the pulpit today because I have a few reflections I want to offer within the context of this homily. Now, you heard that first reading. You know, Samuel, there he is in the temple. Eli is the priest of the temple. And hears this voice and keeps going to Eli. Hey, are you calling me? No, it's the Lord. Listen, when he calls, say, here I am. I will do your will. Well, here's my question. Has anybody here in this church ever heard that voice out loud? Or for that matter, in your daily life experience, have you heard out loud the Lord saying, hey, guess what? This is what I want you to do. More than likely not. On the other hand, there's a way in which, even as we understand Scripture, that the Lord can very much speak to us interiorly and even there, deep within us, to listen and see what he's saying. And for all of us, a lot of times his presence comes in and through our everyday life experience. Some of it ordinary, some of it maybe dramatic. But that sense of, okay, God, what can you say through this? Maybe you didn't cause this. Maybe there's other circumstances. But I know I need to listen to you, to what you have to say. I mentioned today we're talking about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who obviously had heard the voice of God. And here, going back, some of you may know, back in 1955, he was a 26-year-old pastor in Montgomery, Alabama. And he was the chair. He was just newly at the church there. He became the chair of the Montgomery Improvement Organization. Well, one of the first things that came for him was that the whole bus boycott, that you know the story, Rosa Parks wouldn't sit in the back of the bus where she was supposed to, and so they imprisoned her. And anyway, all of a sudden, he's just going to be this pastor in some church, and he finds himself at the forefront of a movement in that town, especially moving blacks and their allies to boycott that bus until they change what they do toward the whole issue of segregation. That put him out there in public in a big way. And as he did that, you probably again know the story. They went over a year, and all the blacks and many of their allies refused to ride the bus. They would walk to their workplaces, to their grocery stores, sometimes for miles, for over a year, to try to break down that bus depot and what they were trying to do there and say, it must end. And after over a year, it did. They made a difference. And Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who saw himself as this pastor of this Baptist church, now was somebody they could see, because he helped organize it all, could make a difference. I want to read now about his call. He wrote this back in 1959, 4 years after Montgomery, but he was already doing a lot of work around, especially around the South, but also in some of the northern cities, to break down the whole issue of segregation and prejudice against people of color. He says this, and notice, we might think he would have some dramatic call. He didn't. What he says: my call to the ministry was neither dramatic nor spectacular. It came neither by some miraculous vision nor by some blinding light experience on the road of life. Moreover, it did not come as a sudden realization. Rather, it was a response to an inner urge that gradually came upon me. This urge expressed itself in a desire to serve God and humanity, and the feeling that my talent and my commitment could best be expressed through the ministry. At first, I planned to be a physician. Then I turned my attention to the direction of law. But as I passed through the preparation stages of these two professions in college, I finally decided to accept the challenge to enter the ministry. I came to see that God had placed a responsibility upon my shoulders, and the more I tried to escape it, the more frustrated I would become. A few months after preaching my first sermon, I entered theological seminary. This, in brief, is an account of my call and pilgrimage to the ministry. And again, we see how so much of that was done through his life experience. And we can all look at that. We probably haven't had some out loud call, but we probably, maybe we don't realize. He didn't realize it right away. That in our inner life and what's happening around us, God may be speaking. So, for example, for us, maybe any of you, like the person you ended up marrying, was there a call there? Was there a sense? Maybe this is God, but God works through ordinary circumstances. Maybe a call to a relationship. Maybe a call to parenthood and make a difference there. Maybe in a particular profession that you were in, whatever that profession is. I remember when I was at St. Martha, the maintenance guy, supervisor, who actually was the sanitation owner or driver, I would hear him in the morning because he'd be singing while I was still asleep, you know. But I went out and saw him. I said, "What makes you so happy?" You know, because people would say, "You're just a sanitation driver." No, he said, he saw that as a calling. He said, "Father, you know, every day I see what I do to help make the world a little bit better." Wow. Wow. And for any of us, whatever our calling in life may be, even particular interests, there's those who've worked for the unborn, those who are very concerned in doing more for climate change, those who are concerned about racism and poverty, any number of issues that probably what draws us without being aware of it, especially when we're drawn to go above and beyond ourselves, to do something to try to make a positive difference in the world. Each of us may be in different directions, but hey, can we see God in some way in that? And possibly preparing us for whatever that is through a lifetime. So for me, I want to share briefly my own experience that led me to a greater sensitivity and admiration for Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was the first to say he was not perfect, none of us are, but he was inspired and made a difference and fostered a movement. And in saying that, we can all look at how we can be inspired by others in order to let God speak to our lives. For me, again, remember, God works through life experience. I grew up on North Hill. I grew up in a racially integrated neighborhood of North Hill. In fact, in my neighborhood, even my Boy Scout troop, I was the only white in a black area. My mom had raised me as a single parent. We didn't, you know, we lived in rental apartments, and that's who I was around. And obviously that influenced me getting to have friendships of that color we recognized, does it make a difference? Yeah, we're different color. But opening up and understanding each other's heart and soul as we were growing up. So here's one example for me when I was in about seventh or eighth grade. My best friend, Michael, we were making a science fair project together, and we actually got a blue ribbon and got to go down to O'Neill's and show it. And it had a scientific bent to it. Now, Michael was much more the scientist. He really put the project together. He really came up with what we would describe to the people. But, and this was, 1960, I think. So it was, it was still early on, although King was already doing a lot. But I would be there, and we'd be at the science fair and at what we were doing, and people would come by, and they'd ask questions about it. But they always directed their questions to me, not to Michael. And I remember in seventh, eighth grade, I thought, why is that? He's doing more. But we sometimes today call it unconscious bias. That back then, especially most of the black kids in North Hill weren't even directed toward the college prep courses at North High. It was say, hey, we don't see blacks doing all these kind of professions, so they must not be capable of doing them. So we encourage them in other directions. So there was Michael, and again, I didn't fully understand that at the time, but I remember we talked about it. Actually, a couple months ago, when we were starting to celebrate Thanksgiving, I was thinking, who are people in my life I'm grateful for? And because I hadn't seen Michael basically since high school in one reunion years ago. And I thought, I'm going to find him. And I did find him in northern Minnesota. And interestingly enough, think of that science fair project. Michael was a physician for 50 years in southern South Chicago in a very difficult area, reaching out. And it was great. We talked for over an hour. I'm going to get together. He's in northern Minnesota. I said, I'll probably come in the summer, Michael. Okay. But it was wonderful to be able to talk and to share. Did that influence my life at the time? And has it been a trajectory that still speaks to me? Yeah, when I reflect back. Think about the people in your life. Then secondly, another big impact for me around this area was in 1968, April 4th. I was at the Newman Center, the Catholic Student Center at Akron, and the news came out that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and killed. And I remember that just struck me to the quick. I was so upset and so emotional, you know, partially because I had been part of this and I knew his movement, what he was doing. And a lot of my friends that were black, I knew this was their hero. At the same time, when I realized this and got really upset, the other young people there, they took it as the news of the day. Obviously, it's too bad that happened, you know, and they didn't have the same emotion. And I have to admit, initially, I was judgmental of them. What is wrong with them that they aren't caring deeply about this murder? Well, when I stepped back eventually and looked at it, I thought, hey, I've had an experience. I've grown up in an integrated area. One of my best friends has been black. I'm much more aware of the whole issue. And so, yeah, okay, God, maybe from my background, you've given me a greater sensitivity. But you also gave me, at that time, an awareness that whatever I can do throughout my life to help black and white come together and try to understand one another and care about one another and together work to make a better world, not only for the issue of race, but any issue. We see it today, hate. Any issue that divides us for any reason. Any issue that makes us look at one person and stereotype them and come up with, I don't want to have anything to do with that person. So it influenced me all those years. And as I look at that, I want to mention, I did mention before this week, that we have a black-white conversation that every first Saturday of the month from 10 to 11:30, started almost 2 years ago now, still going, very powerful. And it's exactly one of the dreams that I know I had. Black and white coming together, hearing each other's stories. Is there a place for politics and policy? Yeah. But the first thing is to get to know each other as human beings, heart and soul. And several of the white people, even here over the last year and a half, have said, Father Norm, I never, ever had a heart-to-heart open conversation with somebody black. I've never known what they have felt, what they're experiencing, what's going on. And they said, again, on both sides, black, white, white, black, hey, we're getting to know each other as human beings and maybe touched and influenced by that in a very positive way. And that has happened in our conversations and what continues to go on. And we know even in our own community, I know I've been involved through the years, again, because of my background. You know, Shamus Malik, who's the new mayor, first mayor of color, and the difference he's trying to make. And for all of us, we don't all have to make this our primary focus, but all of us can see, okay, where and how in my life, with my circumstances, how God, you're shaping me, am I called in a daily life to make a difference? It may be simply around me in my own family. And in saying that, I want to read a few quotes from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm not going to explain them, don't need to. If ever you want to look up these quotes, just go to Google and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. quotes. But just a few of these that continue to guide me, inspire me, and remember, for him, they all come from his faith in Jesus Christ. Here's a few things he said. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Everyone can be great because anyone can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And here's one that strikes me even coming together in our conversation monthly and what we've done in some other parishes. People fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. That can speak to so many issues that divide us in this nation today. So, as we remember and are inspired by King, but King would want us to be, first of all, inspired by Jesus Christ. That's who inspired him. I'm going to ask you now, you might find around you in your pew or whatever, either a blue or a white half page like this. Please get it, because this is a prayer we're going to pray together. If you have to go to a pew in front of you or behind you. And again, since this is the last Mass, if you want to take it home with you, you can. But let's pray it together as people who really want the dominant influence of our life to be Jesus Christ. God, our loving Creator of everyone in the human family, God of justice, in your wisdom, you create all people in your image without exception. Through your goodness, open our eyes to see the dignity, beauty, and worth of every human being from conception to natural death. We stand in awe before you, knowing that the spark of life within each person on earth is the spark of your divine life. Give us gifts of humility and generosity of spirit to recognize in all people the face of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to practice his commandment to love one another. Open our minds to understand that all your children are brothers and sisters in the same human family. Open our hearts to repent of racist attitudes, behaviors, and speech which demean others. Open our ears to hear the cries of those wounded by racial discrimination and their passionate appeals for change. Strengthen our resolve to make amends for past injustices and to right the wrongs of history, and fill us with courage that we might seek to heal wounds, build bridges, forgive and be forgiven, and establish justice, peace, and equality for all in our communities. We pray in Jesus' name, the one who showed us a God whose love is universal and everlasting. Take a quiet moment, again, as we always do, maybe something to remember as you leave here or to take with you.